listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
OBM, Ohio Business Machines, preferred copier provider of the Cleveland Browns, who knows that every day is game day in your office. Call 216-485-2000 or visit ohiobusinessmachines.com. We're going to go to the Ohio Business Machines hotline right now and speak to Joe Fan from 49ers.com. You can follow Joe on Twitter at @JOE_Fan for all your 49ers news. Joe, thanks for taking the time to be with us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, gentlemen.
You got it. Right out of the gates, as we were prepping for you, and since that I was out there in San Francisco, there was a laundry list that we can get into that we hope we can, you know, smash into the next 15 minutes that you'll spend with us, because it has been a wild offseason out there in San Francisco this year, hasn't it?
It certainly has. I mean, obviously, plenty of turnover, you know, so it's gotten a lot of attention, but I think what you're getting out of the guys in the locker room right now is no one's hiding away from the fact that Justin Smith, Patrick Willis, and Chris Borland are no longer here, and just kind of focusing on the guys in the locker room, which is really all you can ask them to do. I mean, you're not going to get any professional athlete who's going to, you know, sit down and feel sorry for themselves. They got a season to get ready for, and we're just about a week away from that.
And we definitely are, and, you know, one of the big moves and was on top of the highlights and the news for a very long time was the departure of Coach Harbaugh and the hire, the internal hire of Coach Tomasula. I have a great admiration for Coach Tomasula. I thought he was a great coach, the defensive line coach in my time there, and was a true players coach. How much of his hiring was you thought by Jed York was the acceptance and the control that he had with the players in that locker room?
Yeah, I mean, I think you certainly just talking to different guys, and even the guys who were just getting here, you know, Reggie Bush and Torrey Smith, they've already, you know, they noticed from day one how much respect that locker room has for Jim Tomasula. He's very much a player's coach and gets the most out of them, and that is kind of what he's here to do now, is keep the boat on the straight and narrow and going forward and letting his coordinators, Eric Mangini and Jeep Crisp, controlling the defense and offense respectively. And you know, he said he's not going to call plays on the other side of the football. It's just he's going to be managing the locker room, managing the team, and making sure it's all going in the right direction, which I think he's more than capable of. I mean, this is a guy who he just wants to, you know, to coach football. He wants to coach ball. He wants to talk shop. You know, he doesn't necessarily, you know, love doing all the media stuff that comes with being a head coach, but he loves where he's at right now, and I don't think he's nervous for the moment or the limelight by any means.
Joe Fan from 49ers.com joins Cleveland Browns Daily right now. Joe, I want to know, why are so many people picking the 49ers to miss the playoffs? You talk about a couple of those retirements, but is there a culture issue there keeping the same coach? Is that why some of the experts are uneasy about the 49ers? Kind of convince us why this team can rebound from so much change.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy, right? And you look at the departure of Harbaugh, you know, took them to a couple of NFC Championship games and, you know, three straight NFC Championship games in the Super Bowl. You know, I mean, that departure obviously is going to gain steam. Losing Patrick Willis, who was, you know, one of the best linebackers, if not the best linebackers of the generation, you know, to retire. And Chris Borland, who was a fifth-round pick but, you know, had Pro Bowl potential, you know, he retires, you know, because of his fear of concussions, all that. You know, obviously that stuff is going to get attention. And so, you know, then you look at two other factors. It's the hardest schedule in the league with a lot of travel. It's not the most travel in the league, and they play in obvious or arguably the toughest division in football in the NFC West. You know, you had both the Seahawks and Cardinals win 10 plus games. Seahawks back to back Super Bowls, and the Rams, where it seems like their whole roster is built on first round picks.
Yep.
So those two factors alone make it an uphill climb. But I don't think necessarily, you know, you can really take on the doomsday mentality. I mean, it's still a very, very talented roster, and a couple of names that really people aren't necessarily paying as much attention to because of the retirements and the coaching changes and all that. This team is getting Alden Smith back and Navarro Bowman for a full season.
Yeah,
and I
true.
Think those are two huge wild cards. Navarro Bowman made three straight All-Pro rosters from 2011-2013. Obviously, the knee injury in 2013, that NFC Championship game against the Seahawks, was pretty gruesome, but you know, he sat out the whole year. He looked great in minicamp, so it's going to be see, you know, how does it respond in contact and full pads come training camp. But that's a huge one. And Alden Smith also, I mean, he was, you know, the most feared pass rusher in the league just 2 years ago. He's only 25 years old. Bowman's only 27. So maybe he doesn't get back to 19 and a half sacks, but if he can get double-digit sacks and be that feared edge rusher in that 3-4 system, I mean, those are two huge pieces that can make a big difference for that defense.
They definitely are, and I think, Joe, it's unanimous that the biggest X factor on every NFL roster is their quarterback. So my question for you, and you mentioned wild card. The big wild card out there in San Francisco was, what Colin Kaepernick are we going to see? Are we going to see the 2013 Colin Kaepernick or the 2014 where there was a little bit of regression, a little bit less of that read option, focusing him on him playing from the pocket? And I know he's been diligent working with Kurt Warner this offseason, but I just want to know, what have you seen from him on his progression as a franchise quarterback in the National Football League?
I think it's really important to, after OTAs and minicamp, to just not get too high or too low. It's too early. You know, I don't want to play the first take, embrace debate thing where we, you know, we glorify or, you know, condemn somebody for how he's done. But from what I've seen, Colin's had a fantastic offseason. He's put in the work on his own, obviously working with Kurt Warner, but then working with Steve Logan, our quarterback's coach here in San Francisco. You know, he's just a different breed of athlete. I mean, he's ripped to pieces. He's 6'4", 225. And, you know, your Torrey Smith has only been working with him for a couple months. You know, and he says, this guy's fastball is just on another level. And it really is. And watching him throw the football, it's pretty special. And so, you know, he had a great minicamp. He had a great series of OTAs. He was around the whole time. And so all signs trend towards it's going to be an improvement. But he's got to prove that in the preseason. Obviously, when the lights come on Monday Night Football week one against the Vikings, that's when people were really going to see. And so, you know, that game can either, you know, justify the entire offseason or ruin it. And after that one game, people are, you know, are going to hit the radio lines and, again, either say he's a Hall of Famer again or say he, you know, he needs to go. And so, you know, I think you have to be patient and let it see how it plays out. I don't want to jump to the conclusions now, but I think it's hard to not be positive with what you've seen so far. And I think one of the biggest things as well is Jeep Chris' new offense, Jim Thomas is promoting this as well, is the word you keep hearing at practice is tempo, tempo, tempo. And they're really trying to, I don't think it's necessarily like, we're going to turn into the Eagles and try to run every play as fast as possible, but it's going to be that ability to control the tempo of the game if you want to speed it up or slow it down. So there's less verbiage in the huddle. They get to the line of scrimmage quicker, gives Colin more time to read the defense and see what he's seeing and what the defense is showing. And then hopefully that'll help him go through his reads and continue to make that progression that way. So I think the coaching staff is putting in the work to put Colin in the situation to be successful, and he's done that himself. And I don't think you can knock him in any way for not putting his own work in.
Joe, the 49ers visit the Cleveland Browns week 14, a December 13th matchup. Two-part question for you here. What is your take on the Cleveland Browns as an outsider? And then what is the biggest weakness the 49ers have that the Browns could maybe attack that week?
You know, it's interesting. I think, like you just said, with the biggest wild card in football is the quarterback, and I think that's an ongoing question for the Cleveland Browns. So I think it's very quick to look at that position right away and think, you know, okay, this is, you know, where we can take advantage. You know, who's going to be their quarterback, especially come, you know, week 14. That could be a different guy. It could still be Josh McCown, absolutely. You know, he didn't have a great year in Tampa last year, but was very successful with the Bears the year before. But, it, you know, could be the rookie Connor Shaw, and it could be Johnny Manziel. It's just you don't know what Browns quarterback you're going to see under center come week 14. On the other side of the football, with the 49ers and their weakness, I think the biggest question mark right now is just who's going to be filling those spots in the offensive line. I think, obviously, the Justin Smiths and the Patrick Willis got attention, but there's a lot of depth on this team at linebacker and defensive line. So you look at the losses of Anthony Davis and Mikey Iupati, those ones, I'm more curious to see who's going to fill those holes. You know, I think you've got the pieces where you know kind of what names are going to be there, but you don't know where exactly they're going to be outside of Joe Staley, a left tackle. And so, you know, Alex Boone, they thought about, you know, he played right guard, but he can, you know, do you move him to right tackle or do in minicamp, he was playing a little bit of left guard because the footwork and technique is the same as left tackle. So it's kind of an insurance plan in case Joe Staley were to go down. So the names are there, but I don't think anybody really knows yet, including the coaching staff, who exactly is going to be there come week one. And so I think right now, if you have the biggest question mark, I think that for me is what I'm most curious to see and who ends up where. And, you know, especially come week 14, that could be different names as it is in week one.
Joe, one position group that I think has a huge similarity to the Cleveland Browns as we focus on us being opponents later in the football season is the running back room. You guys have Carlos Hyde drafted in the first round last year, Kendall Hunter, and now have added Reggie Bush via free agency. We, of course, have Isaiah Crowell, most likely to be the bell cow, taking a lot of the brunt of the carries on the ground. You've got Terrence West, and then Duke Johnson, a rookie out of the University of Miami, might be the most closely compared to Reggie Bush. How do you see things shaking out in the 49ers' backfield?
I think that's another one you're really curious to see how it plays out in training camp. Because, again, I think you've got those are the trio of running backs, and I think Carlos Hyde's the odds-on favorite to win that job. But Reggie Bush will have a role. Is it just third down? Is it, you know, guys trade off series? Who knows? I mean, I know the coaches have said that they're very comfortable with all three guys doing everything, and, you know, as far as running the ball on first and second down to catching passes out of the backfield. Carlos Hyde, a pretty productive, rookie season, even returned some kicks, which I would imagine is not a part of his responsibilities. But he had scored four touchdowns, averaged 4 yards a carry, plenty to build on. I think he's talked about being a more patient runner this year, as opposed to, you know, where Gore was such a gasher and getting there where he just kind of bulldozed his way through, kind of like a bull in a china shop. He wants to be a little more patient this year and take what's given to him, which is what, you know, Gore was so good at doing. He would, you know, he would be given minus one and find a way to get three or four, and that's what, you know, Carlos Hyde will try to do. And I think Kendall Hunter is kind of the X factor. He had a great minicamp and OTAs and offseason, but, you know, he's coming off an ACL tear from the very first day of training camp last year. So he missed all of 2014, but, you know, he showed well. So I think the pieces are there to kind of fill that, that missing void of having Gore, but I don't think you know exactly how it's going to play out. But if I had to guess right now, probably – you know, Carlos Hyde is looking at your starter, but all three of them will surely be a part of the offense.
Sure. Joe, thank you so much for taking the time to be a part of the show today.
Hey, guys, I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. That was Joe Fan from 49ers.com. And again, for any all your 49ers news, follow Joe on Twitter at @Joe_Fan. That's @Joe_Fan. So great perspective on the 49ers. I think the 49ers as a whole, as a team, are the X factor on the Browns schedule, because that could easily, if they lose some games coming into the Browns game, that's a very winnable game for the Cleveland Browns based on their momentum.
And the Browns' first four games before that 49ers game, at Bengals, at Steelers, Ravens, Bengals. So if you get a little hot streak there, go 3-1,
right,
you don't want to let down. You don't want to let down.
Absolutely. So this will be our last break of the show. When you come back, we're going to see, we're going to get to Twitter for all your hashtag mailbag questions today. So Matt Wilhelm, Jason Gibbs, Kevin Jones with you today on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.